Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we realize this morning that all things are possible which were not formerly possible. For we're looking for the hour of the rapture, which hour we're actually in. Exodus ongoing now, spiritual. Resurrection having really been accomplished and coming more and more from the negative to the positive. Knowing, Lord, that this negative flesh one day is going to drop off and be perfectly changed into that which is positive. We shall be like you, for we'll see you in your glorified form. But even before we see you in your glorified form, Lord, having seen you here, revealed as the Son of Man, we know that we will be changed, the change going on now. So, Father, help us to be transformed in our minds this morning, getting right down deep into the soul so it might come back through the Spirit and then into a life that we might actually show some of that Shekinah glory that is shown upon us. We know, Lord, we're already manifested as written epistles, but may it be that we're written of you. That's what we really desire. Guard our thoughts and our minds this morning, Lord, and our hearts we might serve thee acceptably. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. I guess last night I got to thinking of 25, and so I had made Brother Branham gone for 25 years. He's been gone for 20. Just about on the dot now. Five more to go. I'll bring us up to about 1990. But I don't say those figures work out exactly. Now, we're still into the unveiling of God, and once again we mention that the basic thrust of this sermon preached by Brother Branham is not to present an in-depth doctrine of the Godhead, but mainly to explain how God is revealed to us. And this does not mean that the revelation of God is neglected, for indeed he is openly unveiled before us, but even this unveiling of God is not set forth in the traditional manner of the doctrine of his eternal power and Godhead as to his essentiality and unchangeability, but truly as to what he is now and what he is doing at this very hour. In plain English, he will be set forth. The prophet doesn't fail to do that. But it is so different from what the theologian would do that it doesn't seem to be an unveiling, because they immediately go to doctrine wherein they talk of his eternal attributes, his essentiality, which means that God is essentially and always God, which is Holy Spirit, and then they go into many, many ramifications. Well, Brother Branham doesn't do that. What he does is something different. What he brings forth is what he is to us and what he is doing at this very hour. And, you know, that is something that you're not going to get across to people, whether they're so-called born again, fundamental or not, or whether they so-called born again and so-called believe this message, and I say my word deliberately, it's just something people don't grasp, because they can't let their thinking go, because everything they're used to is picking up a treatise, and it's a dogma. It's not a revelation, it's a dogma. And, well, the dog's got a hold of it. That's what happened. So what do you expect? It tore the sheep. It always does. Now, there is only one God. But there are three offices that manifest this one God. And in those three offices are many roles. And God, unveiled at this time, is in the office of Son, acting in the role of the Son of Man, which is one of three roles in that office. The other two being Son of God and Son of David. Now remember, he's in the office of sonship. About everybody thinks he's in the office of fatherhood. Well, if he's in the office of fatherhood, he couldn't be in the office of sonship except vaguely. What it is, you have to understand what he's doing, why he's doing, how he's doing it. That's the thrust of this message when it comes to the person of God himself. The rest of it deals with how it is done. And in this hour, he has already been revealed as Son of Man, Luke 17:30, which, by the way, is the appearing, which people confuse to be 1 Thessalonians 4:16. 1 Thessalonians 4:16 is the appearing and the coming, because he comes down in the form of the Holy Spirit in the pillar of fire and sonship, God giving the gift of his Son in the form of the Holy Ghost. In other words, with whom did I take counsel? What am I going to do? How am I going to do it? All right, then this is God in the form of the Holy Spirit in sonship, in the form of a pillar of fire, manifesting himself through a prophet. We're getting to that. And he's Son of Man. He's being revealed. Now, the Lord himself descends from heaven with a shout. That tells you Elohim, God, is doing this thing. How he does it, of course, we already know. We've talked about it. Using a prophet, using the prophet for a voice. And, of course, the next step is a matter of the resurrection. And that's still not second coming. That's that first part. See how they're all mixed up? Then you go to the third part, which is a catching away. That's rapture. That's still the first part. Now he's descending to meet us in the air, evidently, as we go up. That is second coming. Because it's coming in the flesh. Three comings. One in flesh upon this earth. That's already been fulfilled, bled and died. Now we're going to meet him in the air, mortal. The third one, we come back to the millennium, right? That's exactly what the prophet said. Read it here. It's documented on Brother Branham's tapes, the books, and on our tapes here as we preach them. All right. The unveiling has been by a prophet revealing the word by the word. That's right. He is the word. He's Logos. God coming into manifestation. God into expression. So the Logos himself is here with the prophet, telling the prophet. What is contained here concerning what was set forth as being a book of prophecies. The main character being God, glorifying God. So therefore, God being the only one who knows God, comes right down, the only channel he's got, expresses himself right here. All right? Simple as ABC. Just go along with what the prophet taught. This prophet is Elijah. And God in sonship by the pillar of fire is speaking to and through and in the prophet. The pillar of fire is God, and it is anointing the prophet. Now, that's what he said. He read that last night. Third Exodus. Pillar of fire is God, and he is anointing the prophet. So that's how you get. I thought you were the Son of Man. Somebody said you were. I thought the pillar of fire is. He said, I am not he. The pillar of fire is not he. It's in the form of the Holy Spirit. What is it? Anointing the man. Then that man's words will do what no other man's words can do because they're God's word.
Amen.
See, now, just as simple as ABC. All right. This is the sword of the Lord cutting the veils of traditions. Now be sure to get this. So listen to it. In this unveiling, Brother Branham uses the Alpha and Omega principle. Now that's what I want you to understand here. The Alpha and Omega principle. The same yesterday and today and forever, but showing at the end what he was at the beginning. Now remember, what's in the middle doesn't count so much because what was planted goes through a process and manifests what was planted. You see, you're all confused this morning. I know what you're thinking. You're thinking he's the same yesterday, day, and forever, and I'm sure he doesn't change, and I know he'll do the same thing, and now you're 100% wrong, because he's not going to do the same thing. He's not going to do it. The grain of wheat that fell on the ground does not appear through the seven church ages, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, only appears in 1 and 7. So you see, he blew everything you're thinking. Now, if you can get your minds lined up, you're going to be all right. But if you can't get your minds lined up, you're way out in Pentecost. And I don't care what, well, someplace. But let's face it, no preacher, no William Branham, no God's going to do you any good. Because you've got to now let your minds follow along with the flow of the prophet. And that's not easy. That's hard. Devil steps in and makes it terribly hard. And if you've had some backgrounding like I've had, it's doubly hard. Now, this is what you understand. It takes time. But you see how it's coming. Like Brother Brown has said, these tapes, these sermons just get clearer and clearer. And as it does, it gets more and more simple. Until now, you're back to where you should be. Okay, so we're going to read something we read last night now. Now, remember, this is concerning the Alpha Omega principle. See? Okay, now to the perfect. Okay, now, to the perfect means... He's talking about that which has come to full maturity, is completely right, can't add to it, can't take from it. This is it. Follow? Now, it was it when he was here. It's it again. I see people don't understand that. They look around. I'll look around all you want. Take a look at me. Ooh, that's on the camera. If it blows the cartridge, we'll pay for it. I don't mind what's on. I know I'm going to be hung for what I am. Might as well get it all out in the open. Let it all hang out there just the way it is. Can't hide it anyway. I got my moments, but that's the truth of it. See, all right. They say, well, hey, I'm looking. Look all you want, honey. Be my guest. You're going to keep looking. You're going to walk right by it. They say, well, I'm a fine person. So is the Pharisee. I don't care how fine you are. We should all be fine people. That goes without saying. You can even take a dog to obedience school and does beautiful. We saw one the other day. Oh, what a beautiful golden retriever. And it's just like kind of dancing on the sidewalk of this nice lady going by. Pat, pat, pat. And then pretty soon she comes to the road. You know, she's going to cross the intersection. She steps off and the dog gets right behind her, sits right down. And then she gets up, pat, pat, pat. I said, my, beautiful. Hi, dogs. You see what I'm driving at? Not calling anybody a dog. Getting the picture across. Anybody can be real nice and fine. Well trained, disciplined. Sure, should be. No problem, should be. But that's not it. No, they miss it. That's where you get this love that Brother Brand spoke of. And I'm all for love, any kind of love whatsoever, if it's just getting kind of modicum of grace in it. But you know, he said this, the renegade Jesus beat those fellows out of the temple. And these renegade preachers beat widows out of their life. I just had to throw that in. I had to throw that in because that's one of my sore spots. I've seen it done too often. No, nobody in this message will take somebody's living. That's yours and all. But he beat him out of it. I mean, he knocked him out. He threw him out. Okay, now to the perfect. After the stalk has been formed, now that which went in the ground is coming up, see? And it doesn't look like that what went in. So, let's keep that in mind. Now, here's your Alpha Omega principle, your sowing and reaping principle. What a man sows, he reaps. So what God sows, he reaps. What did he sow and how did he sow it? When did it come reaping time? See? Well, you watch. See, Jesus' parables are full of it in the Gospels. Now, after the stalk has been formed, after the tassel has been formed, after the grain has come out into the cob, then it has to come to perfection. That's a completion. Looking just what it was like before. Back to the regular grain again. And remember, the grain must be germatized. See? Now, he's talking of the church at the same time of what fell in the ground being Christ. The church also fell in the ground and died, right? So watch your principles. See, if it don't, it won't live. Now, if it hadn't been germatized, it wouldn't live. So therefore, what went in is going to come back someday, somehow. You listening? It's got to come back. Church has got to come back. Every word's got to come back. Everything's got to come back. The word is restoration. See? Harvest. Certain lovely lady sings the song Harvest Time on their Harvest Time program. I wish she understood it. Not that we do, but we don't. The prophet understood. Now, see? It must be germinated. If it isn't, it won't live. See? None of that was outside. None of that was outside of those messages will ever come to light. Now, he's telling you right there. It was always coming up, coming up, coming up. But if you weren't in that group, Luther, Wesley, so on, no way. See, coming up. None outside the message ever come to light. It has to be germatized to it. That's why he said nothing outside of this message will ever come to light. Because it's the same message it always was. It's just fuller, completer. It's mature. It's coming back to where you can see it and recognize it. See, before, it wasn't that way. But remember, the same light that was in the stalk is in the grain. It's just maturing itself right back. See, he revealed himself what? Son of man. What went in the ground? Son of man. Then what's going to come out of the ground, so to speak? Son of man. And if it doesn't come back identical, somewhere, someplace, then the law doesn't hold. The principle of life doesn't hold. So you won't do it. The Son of Man, the grain that went into the ground. Get the message? All right, that's now. In here, he brings us the thought in. The Greek said to him, we would see Jesus. Okay? Except a grain of wheat fall into the ground. Now, he doesn't finish it, but except the grain we fall on the ground and dies, it abides alone. But if it dies, then it brings forth much fruit. In other words, he just cuts the verse off, but the idea is this. If that grain of wheat falls into the ground, and it's the proper light, Everything is right. It is that word. God is in it. You are going to find a duplication there.
Amen.
Now, you'll notice everybody likes the idea of a duplication wherein we're going to be like him. But they can't understand the duplication of the ministry coming at the same time to the Gentiles. It is uniquely unknown to them. They're not even interested. All right. Now, so, Brother Branham using the thought, except a corn of wheat fall on the ground, it abides alone. So he died. Jesus died. Now listen, I'm going to make some little chronological thoughts here that perhaps aren't necessarily perfect, but give us some ideas. He died. So he died. Then he came right back in a glorified form. Yes, sir. Came right back. And he said, handle me and see, a spirit hath not flesh and blood. And then, or flesh and bones. Then he brought others with him. As soon as he came out of the grave. Alright? Then he went away and came back. He came back as the Holy Spirit at Pentecost. He filled believers with the Holy Spirit. Then he met Paul and gave Paul the word. Then the Spirit word seed in the church fell in the ground and died. It rotted. Now you see, it's got to come up again to what it was, which was the perfect church that could have had a rapture, but it wasn't complete. It wasn't time. It came up one in the form of justification that lets you see the Word and the Holy Spirit is one and the same. And the measure of the Word is the measure of the Holy Spirit. See, bringing forth the person because he is our justification. He is our justifier. Next was sanctification. He is our sanctification. Listen, that's the scripture. The compound titles of Jehovah. Very strange that everybody makes a mistake on the seven. Even Brother Branham didn't bring out there's eight, not seven. They left out sanctifier. Get up and look at yourself. I'm not smart. I picked up from somebody else. Who knows how many subdivisions there are? Brother Branham recognized that. He knew that they were limitless. All right, he is our sanctification. Christ is our sanctifier, our sanctification. Now, if he were just our sanctifier, that's separating. He'll be a sanctifier and he separates sheep and goats. Who ought to be a goat? Ha! I want to be a sheep. I want him as my life. So he is my justification. He's my righteousness, the declared righteous. He is my sanctification, and he is my baptism with the Holy Ghost because that's a part of it. Now notice he's coming up closer. Then the Holy Spirit himself comes giving the revelation of the Word. That means perfection has come. Headship has come. It's proven. We are awaiting only his glorified form, and that will be seen after the resurrection. When the saints are out of the ground and we're changed up to him. So to go over it. One, he died and then he rose. Two, others followed him in his resurrection. Three, he went up to heaven. Four, then those were in his resurrection followed him up to heaven. Five, he came back as the Holy Spirit in a pillar of fire. No one came back with him. No. See, there's no following now. He's getting the new following. Six, he baptized the church with the Holy Spirit. Seven, he came to Paul and gave him the word. Eight, he set the church in order in Ephesians 4. That's right. Nine, the church fell. Ten, the seed word spiritual bride died. She went into the ground, under the dark ages. 11, the seed coat rotted so the life could reproduce itself. That's exactly right. Because you want to see, looking out to the resurrection. Because it's building to your resurrection, see? Okay, 12, he begins to form back under justification. 13 through sanctification. 14 through the baptism. 15, then the baptizer himself, the pillar of fire. 16, then the Son of Man is revealed. 17, then the Word is revealed. 18, then headship. The cornerstone has become the headstone. He's all in all. The prophet's off the scene, and he which must increase will increase. Next, the dead must rise. That's 19. 20, next will be a rapture. 21, we'll meet him in the air, in the person of the Holy Spirit now incarnated, that Spirit amongst us. Then 22, there'll be a coronation. We're crowning King of Kings. 23 is the wedding supper. 24 is the judgment seat. Not as people think, it's handing of rewards. And number 25, we come back on white horses with him and so on right down the line. You can bring the whole thing up. Now you see where we're at. We're in that progress and the Son of Man revealed is a very, very important part because you come full circle. See? And when you've come through full circle with the Spirit, you've come full circle with the work of God in a bride, the masterpiece. See? You've got to understand that. Now, go back to paragraph 313 a minute. Now watch what the sun does. You plant a seed, what happens? The seed rots. Inside the seed is life. The life comes forth and brings forth a stalk. Now that doesn't look like the first. There's Luther, a stalk. All right, stalk went on. Brought a tassel. Western Revival. Wasn't like the other. Long come Pentecost Revival. Brought forth the baptism of the Holy Ghost. All right, what happened? Got fungus on the ear. This is wrong. That's wrong. Not like original grain went in. But God is still there to make that just the same. See what we're saying? It doesn't look as though it were God. And this is where people misunderstand. Now notice, what did he do? Finally returns back to original seed again. When he came in the form of Martin Luther. Now he wasn't in the form of Martin Luther per se. It's the form of justification. The Spirit and the Word are the same measure. But he used Martin Luther. So therefore he was the messenger. He was the vicar of that hour. He was the, put it right down all the way, but you can't make him a prophet. Now there's no doubt he was a prophet in the minor sense of the word. Because I understand Sauer's theology or history says that he did prophesy, spoke in tongues, and so on and so on. Now, then he came in the form of John Wesley, come in the form of Pentecost. He's supposed to reveal himself again like the same seed went in, the Son of Man. He revealed himself as Son of God through the stock age, because he is the Son of God. Yes. Sure he is. You're not looking at fatherhood at this moment here. You're looking at sonship. God giving his Son in the Son in the form of the Holy Spirit. Now, in this last age, to reveal himself as Son of Man again. Now, that's what the Bible says. At the last age, because that's the age of the Noah type, and that's the age of the Lot type, and that's the time for the rapture. So, you see, the Son of Man's got to reveal himself. And it's going to be the same days back there, the same days are here. See? And he lets them know. He said, I'm going to die. But those days are going to come again. They're going to say, see here and see there. They're going to be trying to explain it. But it's going to come in the form of light. That Shekinah that Brother Brown has spoke of. Which is revelatory. Amen. All right, I won't read any more there. She's getting on back. Now, the Greek said we would see Jesus. Except the corn wheat fall on the ground and die. It abides alone. Now, what did he reveal himself next? In a different form, stalk and tassel, so forth, and all the leaves and everything. He revealed himself then what? Same spirit, but in a different form, see. But what's the last of that corn? It comes back to original grain. Is that right? Now, all pointed. Now, remember, everything to him in the flesh pointed to him. Now then, what about this hour? Everything will point back to what he was in the flesh. You understand what I'm saying? Every single prophet, he was in his flesh. And he played a role. But Jesus, the Redeemer prophet, played the entire role. He was God manifested in human form. And he died for our sins. Now that's the fullness. So if everything pointed to it, from the garden to that hour, then everything has got to point back. And what was it? Son of Man. You can't point back only to a dying lamb. Dear dying lamb. It's dear living God. See? Look. We never get finished, never get finished. Just never get finished, that's all. You only need one sermon, Brother Branham's, and that does the whole thing anyway. If you're smart, I'm not smart, so just bear just bear the burden with me. Okay. I wanted to read something in here for you. Okay. He says here, in the 22nd verse, and he said to the disciples, the days will come when you'll desire to see one of the days the Son of Man shall not see it. And they shall say, see here, see there, go not after them nor follow. For as lightning that lighteth out of one part under heaven shines to the other part under heaven, so shall also the Son of Man be in his day. But first, he must suffer many things and be rejected. Now, that doesn't repeat. The suffering and the rejection into death does not repeat. The book of Hebrews qualifies that. And said he died for once for unto sin, and that's it. There's no more death. But it says the days will repeat. And then it says at that time they'll crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh. Why? Because it's in the form of the Holy Ghost, and it is the Son of God in the role of Son of Man. See, the hour of sonship. See, people don't seem to understand that. The hour of the pillar of fire and fatherhood was back in the days of Moses. Now he's revealed himself. Son of God, according to resurrection. As long as there's a resurrection, that's what he is. All right. As it was in the days of Noah. So I want you to get the chronology and understanding there. Now he is going to be revealed as to what he was when he came to fulfill as the fulfillment. Follow me. Now he can't do it in flesh anymore. So what's it going to be? Spirit. Amen. How's it going to be? Through a prophet. Yes. Praise the Lord. God and the prophet. See? All right. Now that's very, very simple. Just go back here to page 41 and look at 285. When Jesus came, he was the Word in his fullness, because the whole plan of redemption lay in him. The whole plan of redemption didn't lie in Moses, didn't lie in Joseph, didn't lie in Elijah, certainly not. See, they were only part of the Word, pointing to it. Now notice, keep your thought. Here it comes, as I'd say. See, the whole plan wasn't in them. They were pointing to it. Therefore, after him, the fullness. We cannot point to something else. It points back to him, the Word. The complete revelation. Nothing added to or taken from. Then if you haven't got a ministry and a vindication, you've got nothing but blah, blah, blah. Yeah. Which is nothing but theology, dogma, creeds, and thinking, and trying to understand, and hoping. But there's nothing definitive. Why, if the Son of Man's going to be revealed, I want something more than a bunch of talk. And a bunch of books. Who needs it? Oh, brother, sister, don't come around me with that stuff. I read my share of books sometime. Stick to these books here. I even put my word studies aside almost. All right. And his... same spirit, but different form. And his ministry comes from these reformations back to the original word again. The word comes to a prophet. And he promised it in Malachi 4 to restore the faith of the people back to the original grain. Well, come on. What else could he restore it back to? Or the Catholic Church wants us all Catholics again. They got us. Not all of us. What went in the ground is here the same. The grain has come up through here. Come up through church, through the agency in the church. It's come up as Son of God. Now it reveals itself here as Son of Man. Then reveals itself as Son of David on the throne. Sure, because he incarnates himself. It's still sonship. When's it go back to fatherhood? As far as I know, when the Son turns it all over to the Father in New Jerusalem. That's the pillar of fire over the throne of the Lamb sitting there. But they're one. So what is it? I thought it's God. Put it down. I'm not a theologian. Long as we get there. Amen. See those three sons just exactly. Oh my. Again, like the original. Now, to the perfect ministry of himself. Now watch now. To the perfect ministry of himself. Himself doing his own thing. Not some man, not some denomination, as they worked down through that age there, see? But himself made manifest, manifest himself. He made manifest, manifest himself.
Praise the Lord.
See? God being his own interpreter. God was his own word giver. Now he's only his own, he is his own interpreter.
Amen.
Prophet ain't got nothing to do with it. I can prove it. They, Brother Brown said they might not even agree with what was being said. Here's Paul the Apostle, like I told you many times. He said, listen, if any man adds one word, he said, let him be accursed. The angel of God come down, tell me one word, he said, he's accursed. And you add one word, you're accursed. And he went on and on. He was in a real tizzy. And one day he said, hey, I wonder if I got this thing right. You can't trust any man.
Amen.
Crawford don't even trust themselves. William Brown said, he said, against my better judgment. He said, my judgment to be a trapper. Skinning coons and skunks and you name it. Rabbits are worth their price, we'll skin them too. Sure. But he said, it's God's will for me to be a prophet, to be a voice. I was just a voice standing there. Do you think he understood everything? He evidently did not, because that tenth vision was never thoroughly explained. Perhaps he knew all about it. We sure don't. That's fine by us. We don't need it. Well, we may need it eventually, but you know what I mean. Everything under the seven thunders and seven seals were given to us. We got it. Okay. Now, Prairie Ministries. But himself made manifest, manifests himself for the promise, making Luke 17:30 and Malachi 4 and Luke and Hebrews 13:8 just exactly right. Now, at that time, what time should it be? Now, you got to get something out of the Bible. When the royal seed of Abraham is looking for the promised son. Now, what kind of promised son is that? In the flesh. You're looking to see him come back, and you come back with him. Now, all the types must be fulfilled. All the types back there that were pointing to him are now here pointing back. And it'll zero in on the record. Right? Just what he was in flesh, he sustained today. Because it's one God. See, one in the form of the sonship. The role, the great office. Now, all types must be fulfilled. And God himself appeared in the form of a human being to Abraham's natural seed before the destruction. And Jesus said it'd be the same thing to this royal seed before the promised son returns. Now, he's telling you about manifestation as son of man, manifesting himself. That's what he said here, and manifest the promise, bringing that word right out. Now, he said right here, just before it comes in flesh, which is the return. We meet him in the air, immortal, second coming, which is the prelude to number three, coming on back down. All right? Now, he said they were looking for that. And so he's supposed to appear at that time. Now see, the types are fulfilling it. Now the word said it, the types are fulfilling it. Notice the old veil that hid the glory. Now he's talking about, we're going back to the Shekinah glory again, and how the people don't understand unveiling. They can't understand a prophet. They don't figure why God would do things this way. Now he just keeps telling you and telling you how he's doing it. Notice the old veil that hid the glory. The old badger skins. There was no beauty to be desired of it, neither was his flesh. That's the reason people say a little old stooped over fellow like that, probably 30 years old and gray, and his beard gray wasn't much to look at. The Bible said there's no beauty we should desire him. He didn't look like a king, the old badger skin. See, tight. But oh, what was on the inside? Then a little bunch of holy rollers sitting together in a hot building like this, they call them holy rollers, see? Not much beauty to be desired, but oh, what's on the inside. I'm sure it's veiled from many hearts you see. Why, certainly. Let's just take one little peek over here in 2 Thessalonians and read what's going on after those angels came down. That's the first chapter of 2 Thessalonians, the mighty visitation there that you see on your right-hand side on the front. Okay, chapter 2, verse 1. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him. And Brother Branham categorically said that's the message. You're being gathered together unto the Word by the Word. He who manifests himself, revealing himself, we have gathered unto. We know God. Like back in the days of Elijah when they killed the hundreds of prophets of Baal. All right. Outwardly, it was nothing. But all was on the inside. Once inside of it, then you see it. All right, Christ back there in the old badger skin was physical. Now it's spiritual. The mystical body of Christ, baptized into Christ. What is it? A bunch of holy rollers. A bunch of nuts. Who needs them? They ain't got nothing but fanaticism. Cults. So we're a cult. Oh, the big sneer. Everybody likes the big sneer. That's what kids do. They get peer pressure. Big sneer, big sneer, big sneer. You don't smoke, what's the matter? You ain't got no guts. No, the thing tastes good. Young girls, well, I haven't had sex yet. Well, who are you anybody anyway? Some kind of a drip. The big sneer, the big sneer, the big sneer. That's a Satan pulling E. The big sneer. Why? So I thought you knew something, kid. Say, I believe this big sneer. Always a big sneer. That'll burn in hell one of these days. So make sure you don't have any big sneers. Don't worry about them either. That's the devil's big old trick, that thing called pride. Satan, by reason of pride, fell. He didn't fall up either, he fell down. Hell has moved from beneath to catch him. See? All right out is nothing. All was on the inside. Once inside, then you see it. Once into Christ, you see it. How do you get into it? Shaking hands, joining, no, you're born into it. Dying, getting rid of your old badger skins. Actually, the truth of the matter is, to bring the correct understanding, is you are reborn into it. But you are born into it on the grounds of the word. It must be born again. Rebirth, born again, see? So you're born into it. Dying, getting rid of your old badger skin. See your old self. To get into a new one. See, forsake the old badger skin. Now, what's the old badger skin? Now, look at, you're not talking in this term concerning the fact that you must be born again and your life is changed in Christ. So those that steal don't steal anymore. And those who are out there in the world, you know, committing adultery and all that kind of stuff are not doing that anymore. Those that murdered don't do it anymore. Those that were men stealers and all that kind of stuff don't. It's not talking about that. He's talking about the fact here, you'll know if you're born again by whether you're in the word of the hour. Because that's the God that's manifested. Now, if you're serving a God that's manifested way back down there, that has died a long time ago. Justification died. Sanctification is dead. The baptism, what I'm talking about in the sense of what is here now, not what, because the real justification never dies. Real sanctification never dies. Real baptism never dies. None of it ever dies. That's the seed coming up. We're talking about the carrier. So we're not talking about you as a carrier before you're born again. We're talking about now about the fact, now that you see the light, and if you're a true child of God, and you come into it, something's going to happen. What's going to happen? Now listen, watch the next paragraph. The Shekinah light does not, listen ministers, I want you to listen to this, when once inside, I'm going to take it real easy, you'll be sure to get it, once inside the veil, under the Shekinah glory, the Shekinah light does not take the word of God and reveal Jesus to be a fortune teller. You say, well, Brother Branham, that's very true. We love that statement that we stand with you. But you see, you're not Jesus. He didn't say he was. He said what was manifested was. See, pillar of fire. The ministry proves it. The thing is vindicated. Doesn't reveal Jesus to be a fortune teller. No. Like the denominations today. Mental telepathy, holy roller, Beelzebub. The Shekinah glory doesn't reveal him as that. See? But the Shekinah glory ripens the seed that's promised for that hour. See, brings it to pass, proves that it is that seed. That it's returned, it's come back. Yeah. Can't be done outside of the pillar of fire. Sonship in the form of the pillar of fire, right there. Shekinah glory ripens the seed that's promised that hour. Of the word, showing him to be still the little valley. It brings forth that seed, the little valley, the bread of life, the Alpha and Omega. See, Omega today, see? But he was the same, he's the same. The same yesterday, today, and forever. He's the believer's portion. That's another title of Jehovah Jireh. The Shekinah glory reveals to the believer, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And remember that phrase, that verse of scripture is not March 16th. That's peripheral. The real meaning is not just the essentiality of God and the attributes of God. You got to go further. It is that same God and how he does it. That never changes. Until you can put that together, you don't understand Hebrews 13 and 8. Until you can place it, you don't understand 13 and 8. But when you place it, you do understand 13 and 8 and say, this is it. And the more you let your thinking go and the more you acquaint yourself with it, the more it ripens. See, the more mature you're getting. Okay. Not the days. He's passed. He died and it's all over. Why, sure they say that. They've been under a chemistry. He did die. That finished it. It opened the doors to heaven's gate. It opened the doors to the baptism. It opened the doors to everything. It brought into play everything that God wanted for us and had for us, which was taken from us by the fall. Now redemption comes in, and we're on the verge of a restoration. See, very true. But that's all they can see. Please, he died. That took care of it. No, it didn't. The Son of Man's got to be revealed.
Amen.
There's a word for the hour. There's a revelation. See? Okay. She died and it's all over. So, friends, if you believe that, you've never struck the Shekinah glory. How could the Shekinah glory ever reveal him in three persons? And they'll tell you, but he died for their sins. That's right. How could the Shekinah glory ever reveal him as being baptized, people, in the name of Father, Son, and Holy Ghost? Well, there's never been one person in the Bible baptized that way, and that's exactly true. How could the Shekinah glory limit him to an apostle when he's the same yesterday, today, and forever? In other words, how in the world can you limit him as the baptism with the Holy Ghost? Or special ministry? To an elder, to a presbyter, to a convener, to some kind of a group, to a pope, or anybody else can't do it. See? Now, see, the Shekinah glory manifests him. That brings forth the word of promise right out to you. See, they say there's no pillar of fire. What's that nonsense anyway? What good's a pillar of fire? Why, Jesus died upon Calvary. We speak in tongues. Look, we got the Holy Ghost. Don't tell us we don't. Our lives are changed. We know. We got proof. We got this. We got that. Sure. Why'd you turn this down?
Right. Amen.
That's Bible. Well, they say those things don't happen. Who said so? I'm going to tell you how the mind of a man is. 16 years of age when I was in high school, our minister's daughter, Lorna Dalgleish, a very lovely, lovely lady teacher. Brilliant, incomparable as a teacher, but her father being a minister. She said, you see, the Bible, especially Genesis, is like all the other myths in the world. It's a fable, but it's the Jews' understanding of a myth. And that's how it happened to their minds, but it's not so. You know I believed her? I just took what she said. I said, well, that makes good sense. Minister daughter. Now, how many churches have you sat in under the same minister's daughter, so to speak? Sure, just took what they said. And I said, here, that's the reason, no, read it again. The Shekinah glory manifests him that brings forth the word of promise right out to you. So if it brings it right out to you, there must be something definitive to you know this is it. And it is. That's the reason he had to veil Moses' face, because in him was the word. And you could see what the law did at that time, because that was the plan of God. God had that veil had to be on his face. You don't have to have the veil now. But people have them, don't worry. But this is talking about a prophet. That's different from your veil and mine is out there in the world. He veiled Jesus as a humble little man. That's he veiled Jehovah, God, being Jehovah, veiled himself in a little man to keep them from seeing himself, which is Jehovah. He veils himself today in earthen vessels with the Shekinah. The outside looks like a bunch of holy rollers, old badger skin. In other words, what's inside, now completely veiled by God himself, baptized with the Holy Ghost, and the outside doesn't reveal it. People say, well, that's nothing. Who needs it? But the inside hides the Shekinah glory, and it ripens the showbread that we feast on. Now, it tells you right there, without the revelation of God himself, in this hour, through a prophet, the same Holy Spirit in us, acquiescing and agreeing to it, that makes the word live, and we feed on it. See, that's our life. That's our strength. That's all of it, see? And drive across the country for hundreds of miles, see? It's the believer's food. Well, that's right. Christ is our manna. I'm the bread that came down here. It's only for a believer. Remember, the showbread was only for the believer. See? Showbread seed. Well, what is bread made out of? Seeds.
Yeah,
sure. See? And what are the seeds done? You grind them fine. So the prophet takes the living word of God and makes it fine, breaks it all down for us, and we feed on it. And with other members are supposed to do the same. Remember, showbread is for believers only. Showbread seed. Notice, what does it do? That Shekinah glory over the showbread kept it from spoiling. Now, it tells you right there that showbread had to have the Word of God, has to have the revelation of the hour. Luther, Wesley, Pentecost, now this. See? Remember the manna that came from heaven. It was stayed, and the other was kept, in the Shekinah glory from one generation to another. Outside it got wiggletails, in it overnight, it contaminated. Is that right? That's true. Now, that, what does that prove? It proves that the Word and the Spirit are one in their hour. That's right. People say, well, hallelujah, we've gone beyond the Bible. They sure did. Say, we don't need it. That's exactly right. They don't. Wouldn't do them any good anyway. They've got nothing to receive it.
Amen.
Sure. You know, it's all right. You can't feed a dog worms. You can sure feed robins worms. But I don't ever saw a robin, you know, chasing a cat or eating rats or something. So you know what I mean? Just face it. You people look alike, but Doesn't mean you aren't like, see? Outside the Shekinah glory, the days of miracles pass. See, it's all fanaticism. Now, what days of miracles is that? He's not talking about Mark 16. Catholic Church endorses that, Anglican Church. They all endorse it to a degree, except maybe Church of Christ. And, oh, come on, there's got to be, you know, something just too far out to be sensible. He's talking about the pillar of fire, the way God did things, and how he's doing things now and appearing. That's what he's talking about.
Amen.
That's what he points to. He doesn't point and say, well, look, there was a miracle down there. He said, the cameras caught it. The cameras caught it. Right? Okay. Look. They got some sunflower seed out of the garner in Egypt. Was put there in the days of Joseph, 4,000 years nearly. Joseph put them in the garner. They planted them. Why? They had light. In other words, it doesn't matter how long ago it went down the ground. It doesn't matter how dead a church is. It doesn't matter how there's no this, no that, the other thing, and how people react. Well, look at the days of Noah. You know, they figured by the time Noah died, there had been 5 billion people on earth. There could have been 50 billion for all we know. But they figured just from genealogy, maybe 5 billion people. We're right to the 5 billion mark again. How many got saved? 8 people. Where was the Shekinah glory? In the ark. With 8 people. That's all. Don't look for numbers. Just look for the Word of God. So that's all. Look for the Word of God. Alright. What's the Shekinah glory today? To break beyond the veil to see who God is standing before you. In other words, what is the Shekinah glory here for today? To let you know there is something that you missed. And not only to let you know you missed it, but to see that you don't miss it any longer.
Amen.
That's what it's here for.
Amen.
See who God is standing here before us? The pillar of fire. He's veiled in human flesh. Now there's God being unveiled right now, telling all about what is he? He's the pillar of fire.
Amen.
Back right where he's supposed to be. Now where is he? In human flesh. Yours and mine, but only modicum. Prophet. God is in the prophet. God's anointed, but Brother Branham is anointed, was anointed by that pillar of fire. Now, what does it? What did it do? The showbread. The word that we're to live on in this day by these promises, the Shekinah glory ripens, that means matures, that showbread brings it to pass. Now, what's he said? Manifest and manifests himself. See? Okay, the Shekinah glory is here. Over this word that can be lying here literally dead as far as everybody is concerned, bringing it right to life.
Amen.
Then that is the bread to the believer. Now he's believing what he's supposed to believe, and he is a believer. And believers don't come into condemnation. The judgment is passed because they took the light. You took what? You took it there. Now look, that, let me tell you something. That could be phony baloney. But what I'm saying is the truth. You understand what I'm saying? It's not phony baloney. It's real. It's vindicated. But here's what people don't understand and don't want to understand. How he's unveiled and the hour of unveiling and the role of the hour. See? Now that constitutes your believer. Now you know that as well as I do. Now see? Makes it bread to the believer. That laid in the pages of this Bible year after year for the word of this age. It lay here and lay here. And people guessed and they probed and they surmised and they said and they hemmed and they hawed and they talked and they prophesied. And they dignified everybody but God. They vilified it. Laying in here dead with shrouds upon it. Not only was it covered in this word here, it was covered with tombs, T-O-M-E-S. The mount to the heavens of what scholars wrote, and everyone wrong. Everyone read Daniel. Seal it up, 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 can't reveal it. I said, oh, you can't. Well, I think I can. Ha! When I was 20 years old, I learned don't be an idiot, but I didn't learn my lesson too well. I looked the odd time, and then I said, forget it. I still do that. If it comes to you, it comes to you. It doesn't come, it's not going to come. I've never seen a screen yet that went up to the projector and begin working on the projector.
Amen.
The screen just stood there.
Amen.
I mean, if the projectionist was out of touch with reality, then the poor screen didn't get very much and the onlooker was bamboozled. But what if the projectionist is God?
Amen.
Then the screen which you and I had better stand still like the prophets stood still. Big screen, little screens. Right. It's exactly right, brother, sister. I'm not telling you a story. I'm giving you a perfect picture. To the denominations, a stumbling block. To denominations, they stumble at it. Down through the ages, Luther, Wesley, Martin Luther, and all Sankey, Finney, John Knox, all stumbled. They did, and they fumbled. They didn't only stumble, they fumbled. You bet they did, sure. Now, what's to be done in the last days? What is to reveal means to bring forth. What's Malachi 4 to do? To turn back the people from that stumbling block, to break down the traditions, and to reveal the bread with the Shekinah glory. Now, it doesn't say to reveal the bread with the Shekinah glory. It's the bread gets revealed by the Shekinah glory. Because this word doesn't have Shekinah glory except for the hour that God breathes on it to bring it to light. Now, he can't bring to light Jesus on Calvary again, no way, shape, and form. But he'll always keep it before us as reality. See, he died once and died unto sin. See, never to die again. That's what we're looking at. All right. To turn back the people from stumbling, that stumbling block, to break down the traditions and reveal the bread with the Shekinah glory. Watch it ripen and produce just exactly what it said it would do. Oh, my. The showbread for this age. Not another age. This age. Now, the people really stumble at that, don't they? To the denomination of stumbling block, a bunch of fanatics, but we who believe him is different, see? But now, as Revelation 10 promised, all the mysteries of God that's been hid in the pages down through those years would be ripened. Now remember, in between time, the grain was planted. If you had not seen the grain go in the ground, you would not know what that grain was going to be that came forth. You just guess at it. And you say, well, now I think it could be this. And it could be that. Or maybe a combination. But I really don't know, but I tell you what, from my experience, and after all, you know, I think I'm highly qualified. I will pass my opinion. And pretty soon it's an absolute dogma. Sure, that's how it goes. You know that as well as I do. See? It wasn't ripened. It was coming up, and how could you tell? Did they back in Luther's day really know they were looking for what this is? Yes. To a degree, there would be a resurrection, there would be a catching away, there would be a great tribulation, there would be a millennium. They knew many things, but they didn't know the how. Amen. Now, brother says, we know he's going to do it, but how's he going to do it? Now, this tells us the how's he. Now, it'll be ripened, brought forth in the age of the seventh angel's message. Now, Revelation 10 tells you, there's going to be a consistent inconsistency of revelation. They're going to guess. And you know how that was because the seal's on the back and they can maybe read a word between the seal and say, oh, there's three words between this seal. Yes, and there's 10 words between this seal. See, there's double lines there. And they say, now from those three words and these two lines, I think I just might see something. You blew it. And I'll tell you what, many a person has died because some hunter got his scopes on what he thought was a deer, was just a human being. That's just what the theologians did too. They'd have kept your mouth shut, it would have been all right. They didn't do it. Well, all right. See? Now, is that right? Is that right? What did he say a year, about 6 months ago, 2 years now? Go to Tucson, be north of Tucson, a great blast. And what would take place? The seals would be open, the seal that revealed these things. Come back just as he said. What was it? It shows it cannot be man. It hits perfectly, just as straight as it can be each time. What hits? Deuteronomy 18, a prophet. A prophet is telling you something. And it must be relevant. What is it? It's the hand of God, see? Before us. And because it's in a little group, veiled in human flesh, it's veiled to the outside world. Now, I said in a little group. Now, you know, though that's true, it comes to a little group, but it comes to one man. We'll talk about that. He's here. He's hid from the outside world. He's revealing himself to babes, such as we'll learn. See? That's right. See, every parable in the Bible, every type of the Bible is made manifest right here before us. How? Because it pointed to him who came 2,000 years ago, and you can do nothing but point back. And when you point back, you've got to point to a fullness. Now, they pointed back, but then the fullness was hidden to them. They knew it was there. They knew it was fullness. But how? What? And the answer is, oh, so simple. The Holy Spirit comes here in the form of a pillar of fire, does through a prophet, the very ministry proving who it is. See, they knew. Like Brother Branham said, Luther looked for the pillar of fire. Wesley, did they really? Yes. Did they know it was that for him? I don't know. Now we were looking for Jesus. We were looking for the appearing. I want to ask anybody all a question. Did he come the way you, did he come the way you thought he'd appear? You didn't even know. You thought like me was up in the rapture or something. And I knew that, well, I knew that was up for grabs to a degree, but I listened to the theologian because they theolog better than I did. And when they log better than you log, well, you just burn their logs. It all goes up in smoke. Might as well admit it. See, every parable, every type manifests here before us, this hour, the same God in the pillar of fire that wrote the Bible, both in the Old and New Testament, is right here manifesting it. How do you like that? That's why we believe what we believe. Showing just exactly what it was, interpreting it right back, and to make it sure, that's the interpretation. God proving. We got the interpretation, say they. Then let it happen, see? See, that's it. That'd be made manifest. That's Deuteronomy 18. See? No one else could say that. Unless he's vindicated by God. Nobody else could. And this is the beauty. There is vindication. And people say, well, you say, who needs it? You see, the Bible proven. How was the Bible proven? Because you've got some kind of a change? What about the Hindu that didn't even need the change? He said, look, I can see you guys do need a change. He said, oh boy, if I had your scurvy, scummy ways. Why, you even talk to somebody's kid to bust your nose in. The Hindu culture, everybody was uncle and auntie. Saw a kid doing wrong, everybody reprimanded that child. Not pick on him, be mean and nasty. Corrected him, say, hey, that's not the way it goes.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
They had grandparents to spoil the grandchildren. Only grandparents can truly appreciate little kids. Because they don't have to stay with them day and night like you do. You're too close to them. You know, they wrote a book, The Joy of Being Old. Phooey. It's the joy of being a grandfather, not getting old. Yeah, people bug me. They don't stick with this word. Can't abide them if they don't give me something real. Now, manifest. Jesus said, if I don't do the works of my Father, believe me not. See, it's got to be proven. But now, not proven like Jesus' time, when they put a rag around his head and hit him on the head, and said, if you're a prophet, tell us who hit you. If you're the Son of God, turn this stone into bread. See, that's the devil. I mean the revelation that he's supposed to do, that's what it is. Now, he's telling you right there about discernment. You're dropping back to what the prophet proves the presence of God in him is by that simple discernment. And that's too simple. Much too simple. No way, shape, and form. They don't want it. Now, and now as Revelation 10 is revealed, the mysteries of God are made manifest, known as the seven sealed book promised. All the mysteries said everything that was sealed up absolutely has to point back when it's proven that which is manifested or given is those thunders. You follow me?
Amen.
See, absolutely. There's no way about it. All right, now, let's just go to page 40, way back here. And we're going to hit 276. Now, 277. And he said, well, then, seven thunders, you see. Wouldn't those seven thunders blasting out, won't that be a revelation to be given to some man? In other words, you get it kind of privately, and it's not in the Bible, but you're going to add to it, see? And I said, no, sir. It'd be adding something to it, or something, taking something from it. It's all revealed in there, and the seven seals opened up the revelation of what that was. What's that? The seven thunders.
Amen.
People tell you the seven thunders haven't been revealed. Well, maybe some portions yet to come out manifested. I don't know. But he said there it was.
Amen.
So I don't know. You either what? Just let her go. What can you say? All right. Now, let your faith in him who is the Word, because in Revelation 10, no, Revelation 19 rather, I had written down Revelation 10, but it's not, it's 19. When he comes, he's going to be called the Word of God, riding upon a white horse, and the followers of heaven will be behind him. Those that go up, come on back. Break the denominational veil of education. Now that's not school, 2 and 2 or 4, the 3 hours. That's theological education. And then where you let your mind get so carried away, you can't get back to the phenomenal and the sensitive. See? Break the denominational veil of tradition. Break those veils that's hiding him from you. Break those veils of pride you're in, your daughter, king's daughters. Act like it, live like it, break every veil. No matter what PhD and LLD says, it's, if it's contrary to the Bible, break through that veil, for we've crossed the riven veil. We're on the other side now, on the other side, and you will see, if you just do that, break the old traditions and things and come to him. You'll see him standing, the mighty conqueror, the word of promise, for this age made manifest. Oh, that chokes them all. Well, you mean to tell me then you're taken away from the great God I know and you're putting him in pieces? No, you do, because you got three gods we don't.
Amen.
We got one God that doesn't get all cooped up. Because when he was supposed to be the mighty God coming by human flesh, he came exactly as he wanted, not by some theologian's guess, who turned it down.
Amen.
And now the virgin birth is a big laugh. You know, God let the heathen have their temple worship where the monks and the priests cohabited with young girls and they were temple virgins or even married women. Anybody came in and they'd come in at night and have intercourse with them. And then the baby born, they say, well, that was the son of God. The gods had intercourse with women. Oh, it's a very nice story. I prefer the Mormons. They had more brass. They said polygamy's okay. At least they took care of the women they wanted. I'm not for it, but I'm just telling you, they got more favor with me and this other stuff here. But you see what I'm trying to tell you? Back in those days, before the virgin birth was actually upon earth here, and we see the Son of God come in human flesh, which he's supposed to be, that already had a stigma on it.
Amen.
The devil always has a stigma in everything. That's why people don't like the word presence or anything else they use. Really, the word presence doesn't even need to be used. It's appearing. But if he's not here, tell me how he appeared. In signs and wonders? No, we believe that. Right there.
Yeah.
No, come on. You got to let your thinking go. Let your thinking go. Methodist, Baptist, Presbyterian, whatever it is. Let your thinking go, see? Now, we're on the other side now, and you will see, if you'll just do that, break those old traditions and things and come to him, you'll see him standing, the mighty conqueror, the word of promise, where this age made manifest. You'll see the mighty God unveiled. See him right amongst us here, unveiled, the mighty God, unconquered by traditions. Not just signs and wonders, brother, sister. No. They tried to hide him behind there. They did for years. But the time of the promise drew near. God raised up a Moses one time. He set the children free from those things. And he still can't be conquered. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words shall not. Why? Why? What's he say that for? Because God stands behind his word. You can't conquer God. You can't conquer his word.
Amen.
He conquers all. Even Nebuchadnezzar found that out. I wish the church would find that out. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. They said it can't be done, but it was done. And when it was done, they said, it's the devil. That doesn't change the word of God a bit. It still remains God to the believer. The mighty conqueror, the same yesterday, and forever, by his nature, by his word. Oh, they'll preach the nature, but they forget the word. Ah, very convenient. I'm closing in saying this, because 5 minutes to 12. Well, we've got 7 minutes after 12. We're worse off than they were at the tabernacle. Maybe gets by the time. And then he talks about the auctioneer and then he prays. And he'd be proud and he said, it's not a bunch of fanatics. Remember that. I'm just going to read a little portion here and I think we can finish this today. All right. Lord, I think he prays. Lord, I think you proved it to them now. They come from everywhere. They spend their living. They do everything. In other words, you know this is God. You know how it is God. You're fully acquainted. You've left the other veil. You're into the new veil. You're in Christ. And he is putting a new veil in you, according to 1 Corinthians 15, that vesture. That's the word I want to remember, vesture. And it's an investiture. You see, which means you're put into an office. Bride. I call you bride.
Yeah.
You've been investitured. Don't look like anybody else. I mean, don't look different than anybody else. Or even worse. Oh, that bunch of, you know. Huh. Man, what they believe down there. Serpents. Oh, boy. They got an idea the serpent was built like an elephant or something. You know, clunk, clunk, clunk. Oh.
Amen.
We'll let them think. And that'll give them some more pornography to think of. That's all they got anyway. Their religion, pornography. And that's awful. They can see, not only hear me on the tape, they can see me. I say, I wasn't the guy who said it. They said, wait a minute, whose picture is that? Well, I said it. Yeah. laying on this pulpit, Lord, lace handkerchief, maybe some will leave today before the service or tonight. Oh, eternal God, look down. I know you're here. You're veiled. See? Later on, help every person to believe this morning, Father. Break through every veil of selfishness, every veil of unbelief. See, there's lots of veils. And see the mighty conqueror unveiled before the believers. For lo, I am with you always, even the end of the world. A little while, and the world won't see me anymore, but you shall see me. Show yourself among us, Lord, as you have been doing. Now, he said, you're going to see me. And notice how he put that in there for this hour. Like he said, the promise of Matthew 28, lo, I am always, right at this hour. See the compound meanings and all? But people don't believe that. Remember, it was to a group one time, I called my son of Egypt, then it's to singular. Now you got the same thing. The promise was to group, now singular, and back to the group. Group, bride, prophet, bride. Now, the visible pillar of fire, scientifically proven many years ago, I said the pillar of fire that's been scientifically proven, that same pillar of fire, many years ago, when I was a little boy, spoke to me out there and told me I'd live right here and what would take place. Now that's what he said. Telling you about it. One day down the road before the ministry started, first revival, he appeared in the skies, identified himself, and gave the commission. All these years I've hid it in my heart. Now listen, all these years I've hid it in my heart, veiling Christ, same pillar of fire, interpreting the word as promised. We're in the last days, just coming of the Lord. See, it's going to be soon. And if you find yourself outside that veil, which is death to steal, that's the real veil, see? Will you, by faith this morning, by God's help, with your help, Lord, I want to break through that veil. I want to get in where you're at to see the full Word of God. In other words, look, if it doesn't line with the Word, fulfilling the Word, and we don't see that this is the Word, how could it be Logos, which is manifestation of thought? How could it be this brought to life, if that isn't true? Now, if that is brought to life, or this is brought to life by the life, because look at there's a movement there. You're looking at something that doesn't move. You just got a picture. But that was moving, brother,
amen.
Sister.
Praise the Lord.
And what's one of the first signs of life? Movement.
Amen.
Next thing, what takes on food gives off waste. Three major signs. Well, that one doesn't have to do anything but just move and dish out the food. He doesn't even need it. We minister back to him by prayer and faith. All right, now, all these years hit in my heart, veiling Christ, same pillar of fire, interpreting the word as promised. Now, he veiled what was said by the pillar of fire. And on the occasions of meeting with God, the pillar of fire entered him, and he the pillar of fire. Now, you got a unanimity. I and my Father are one. The same promise is to the bride at the end time. The same Holy Spirit, inside, outside, the whole thing. All moving. We're in the last days, and so on. Now, here, Father, we pray these, Lord, we've not gone through the veil, standing outside. They believe they've broken into this, but they believe, but they've never broken into this yet. To see that great Shekinah light, both spiritual and physical, insomuch that a mechanical eye of the camera keeps taking the picture. Now, notice how he keeps bringing you back to that. He keeps bringing that. He said, that is vindication, and the world will not take it. And I'm going to tell you something. Anybody in his right mind will have a job taking it. But we are not in our right minds. Because our right minds are what? Deteriorated, degenerated, we're mixed up. But we're in his mind.
Praise God.
That's different entirely. Let this mind dwell in you richly, which was in Christ. All right, now listen. The tail end. I see the mighty God unveiled. I see him pull back the crease, denominations, the skeptics, education program, everything. Walk forward. Stand there. You think the creeds could conquer him? You think denomination can conquer him? You think the World Council can conquer him? He conquered everything.
Amen.
Broke every fetter. Ripped open hell. Tore off the seals. Now remember, those things were passed until this hour, which was what? Tore off the seals. Who closed the book? He did. Who opened it? He will. How will he do it? The same one's got to manifest, brother, sister. Listen, your Bible runs in continuity. Alpha is Omega. That's the greatest principle in the Bible. To understand Hebrews 13:8, anything else you want to understand? All those other laws that God showed through the prophet. I've tried to teach you. They're all good laws, but this is the great one. All right, listen. Conquered everything. Broke off every fetter. Ripped open hell. And he's doing it again, really, because hell has moved from beneath. Tore off the seal. Entered the holies of holies. Unveiled himself to us, being the Word. The same yesterday, today, and forever. The unveiling of God. What was the message all about? It was about God and the prophet. The vindication that God gave the prophet. The vindication being perfectly scripture, 100% right with the word. And we believers, that places us. Sure. What does a bride and groom do when they stand up before the one that performs the ceremony? Judge, whatever it is, you'd be ministered. She believes what the groom says to her. That's right. Well, you take her to be so-and-so-and-so-and-so-and-so. Under such-and-such-and-such. That's right. She believes it. She better believe it. Then he takes her at her word. Then the one stands back, efficient, said, hey, that's it. I pronounce you husband and wife. Not man and woman like a lot of them want to say. Not even man and wife, it's husband and wife. Right?
Amen.
Bride and groom. All right. Now you tell me anything different from this and this. Now what's going on? Now what are you? How could Brother Branham call us anything else but bride? Spotless, virtuous bride. How could he? You give me an answer. How could he? Well, Brother Vail, I know better. Well, you know more than God then. Now you've become a judge of God. Well, Brother Vail, I'm humble. You're not humble. You're a liar. You're ignorant. You're proud. And that's awfulness, isn't it? But it's not awful. It's the truth as I stand here.
Amen.
Because anything opposite from God is pride, and that's where the devil did it. That's where the bride did it. That's why it's so important to you and me not to add or take a word. It's not that, brother, sister, some little thing out here. It's what it does to you and to me. You understand what I'm saying? Throws you out of cater with God. Throws you out there to some limbo. When you stand with this in simplicity, you're not required to know every little jot and tittle. God says not a jot or a tittle will fail. So it's not you to take care of the jots and tittles. He's going to take care of it. It's not your fate. It's His fate.
Praise the Lord. Amen.
See? It's not you doing it. It's He doing it.
Right.
Now, do you believe He's doing it?
Amen.
Are you satisfied He's doing it?
Right.
See, is that the pearl of great price? See? This is why people have come hundreds of miles to hear Brother Branham. And they'll come hundreds of miles to even hear some preacher like me. Which is highly flattering, very nice, appreciate it all. But that doesn't what do you good. It's what is good. Like as I told you, if this was humbug, which is not, there's a real one, brother, sister. Because this is the way it's done. Now if you know this is that in the way it's done, and I'm a part of that same Shekinah glory.
Glory to God.
See? That revealed Him, because He is that glory, that attendant glory around His presence, proving Himself and proving His word, and you're receiving it, that's it. Because that's the sign of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Then you start piling word on word. You watch those virtues begin moving up. You watch that stature start coming up. Right? You watch the day come where Brother Branham place that and we'll be, and you will see that we are it. And there's no phony about it. It's genuine. That love and that faith in there is genuine, brother, sister. That virtue is genuine. That knowledge is genuine. That temperance is genuine. See, that brotherly kindness is genuine. Not something you cooked up and worked up. And you notice also it's going to come more and more natural. Why? Because the Holy Spirit's floating out all that debris. All those rocks and things, all that old that love that you had, all that old brotherly kindness, all those things you watch is floating them out. Then you'll see a man led by the Holy Ghost. He still won't be perfect like Jesus, no way. But living members all together coming to that great day. Well, I know he's preaching. My tape run out? Good enough. Well, let's rise. I ran out of the tape, didn't I? Just such a lovely time with you folk. Appreciate very much seeing every one of you. And you know, I trust you're happy in the Lord, because if you're happy in yourself, that's good, but that's not good enough. Because that can fail. If you're happy in the Lord, then those streams are flowing. It's all great. Heavenly Father, we're on our way now, Lord. We're just happy to have been here and happy, Lord, to go to our places. Happy that you're going with us, Father. Happy, Lord, that none of us is really leaving each other. Though physically there's a manifestation of departure when folks got to go from their home some many, many miles. Well, we just ask you to protect that physical part, but we know the spiritual is with us because there is a tie that binds. And that tie is the Holy Spirit, living Word, O God. And we're of one mind in this truth of the gospel today. And Lord, we're only praying this. If there's anything in our minds that's wrong, and we're preaching something wrong here, believing something wrong, Father, it's by your grace we're taking it into account that you will give us the strength, Lord, of the revelation to know where we're wrong. And then, Father God, we'll have the humility which we know we have of you by your grace to stand up and say, I was wrong here, I was wrong there. Father, help us in all these things because we want to be right in our spirit, and then we know from there on we'll be right in that word, because if we ever get right in our spirit, it's because our souls have been made right by the word spirit life. Yes. And Father, we know then everything else will follow in line, and we praise you for it. So Father, we just bless everyone here in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ in their souls, in their spirits, in their minds, in their bodies, in basket, in store, Lord, right down the line. So as from center to circumference, there's a prosperity, O God, which is of thee. Lord, I believe it. I believe receiving this message of reconciliation, restoration, brings everything absolutely right, Lord. Father God in heaven, we believe that all these things will be manifested in due order. We're looking for them, Lord, and know that someone is falling heir to them by divine grace. Oh, Father, thank you for your encouragement, for your love, for your mercy, and all these things. And we just cannot thank you enough, Lord, for your presence, for the light that shines, and for our brothers and sisters. Lord, bless your bride everywhere. May grace and mercy be found in her and the Word of God. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray, amen. The Lord bless you. We'll just go sing and take the name of Jesus.